Today on the Travel Guys from New York and Sacramento.
Pickpocket shut down the Eiffel Tower, and Hertz says car rental rates will be higher this summer.
At 3:20, we're going to tell you how that the one thing that tourists do that aggravate locals in most cities across America.
You mean like getting to the front of the line in New York and not knowing what you want to order? I think I've met a couple of those people this week, Tom. At 3:35, Gwen Duncan is here with some remarkably inexpensive day trip outing ideas for the summer.
I know I've been one of those guys on more than one occasion.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I know. Finally, at 3:50, Ed Perkins revisits the idea of figuring out how much your time is worth while you're on vacation. It's a fascinating idea. We'll bet a lot of you have never thought about.
Live from New York City and Sacramento, welcome to the Memorial Day edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, a king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Happy Memorial Day to all of you. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. As you could probably guess, I'm in the studio. It's a studio-quality broadcast. Mark Hoffman is on the phone from New York City. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, or if you were in New York City, good early evening as the sun starts to get lower in the sky, and I look out over the Hudson River. And it's a busy Memorial Day weekend here in New York City, Thomas. We'll talk a little bit about that later on.
Yeah, I bet it is. And I know you've seen a lot of sites and things that are Memorial Day, appropriate. And as you mentioned, we'll talk about those right after we take care of some business, like we always do at the top of the Travel Guys radio show, bring you up to date on the travel news. So with that, Mark, what you got on today's travel news for us here?
Well, coming up here at the top, we have the Eiffel Tower in Paris. You know, France, Tom, is the most visited country on the planet, which is kind of interesting.
Really?
I guess it's because, they're right kind of in the middle of Europe there, and more people visit France than any other country, and more people visit the Eiffel Tower in France than any other attraction. It's been known for many, many years that in and around Paris, and particularly around the Eiffel Tower, that pickpockets just tend to run rampant. I mean,
really?
You've really got to be very careful in that area, and it's gotten so bad that the pickpockets have even started to pickpocket the employees at the Eiffel Tower. And so, literally, the employees, there was a dispute last week, and a group of pickpockets threatened some of the employees, so the employees said, until there is better police protection, we're not going to work here anymore. So Friday, they walked off and closed the Eiffel Tower down for 7 hours, and apparently got the police's attention because there's going to be they worked out a deal to get through the holiday weekend. It's a holiday weekend in Paris, as well as here, not Memorial Day, but a 3-day weekend in Paris. So, anyways, the Eiffel Tower is now back open at least temporarily. Until the pickpockets take over.
Well, you know, wasn't that long ago we had one of our guests, and I think you might have been New Orleans at the time, the guy that invented he had the vest that you could wear that had all the interior pockets to protect you from pickpockets. So it seems to me that, you know, you just issue those special vests to the employees there, problem solved.
Well, and that's where really being a smarter traveler when you're traveling overseas comes in, because you really cannot put all of your credit cards, all of your money, all of your anything in one place, because this is a problem, and a smart person takes some small steps, and it doesn't take a lot of big steps, just something to keep you from being a little bit of a target when you're out there, and be a smart traveler and a savvy traveler. And just another little item here, the pickpockets say that really people on their cell phones, people who are texting or looking at things on their phone, are the best targets. So keep that in mind, folks, when you're in highly populated cities and in public areas and you're kind of playing on your phone and stuff like that, make sure that everything's battened down because you are a target at that point. All right, hotels in the United States have, for the second month in a row, reported record-setting occupancy rates. April's 68.8% occupancy was the highest ever for April. There were 99.4 million room nights in April. And this, remember, Airbnb has come along, Tom, and is siphoning off some of this business. So the fact that hotels are setting occupancy records still, even with that kind of competition now, is really quite impressive. It also looks here to me that the areas that have had the biggest increase are San Francisco, surprise, and Chicago. San Francisco's hotel rates are up 12% year over year, Chicago at 11.5%. New York experienced the most significant decrease, 4.5%. That has a little bit to do with the fact that the dollar has not performed, has been very strong against the euro, which is discouraging some of the international folks from heading over here. So lots of international folks, though, in New York City, I assure you, right, on here on Memorial Day weekend. All right, Hertz has said that car rental prices are going to be going up next summer. You doing any rental car rental when you're on the road, Tom?
Always.
Yeah, well, it's going to cost you a little bit more this summer. You know, it's a not widely known secret at this point. There are only three car rental companies. There's Hertz, there's Avis, and there's Enterprise. I know there's a whole lot of other names on car rental companies.
Right.
But basically, anything of any size is owned by one of those three companies. So Enterprise, for example, owns National and Alamo. Hertz owns several others. And Avis does too. So it's becoming tougher and tougher to be competitive when it comes to car rental rates. Hertz says that demand is very high, and they are pushing rates up about 4% this summer. So if you go to rent the car and you say, gee, that's about $5 or $10 more than it was last year, you would be right.
Yeah, there you go. That's why always two things. Number one, if you're going to be there for a handful of days, don't rent by the day, rent by the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is you know, look for discounts like ARP or AAA.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes the problem with the rental car business is that you get into these small companies that you've never heard much of before, and you get there and you find out that you really and truly they're off airport, or there's some other hassles, and then the salesman wants to spend 20 minutes trying to sell you liability insurance. So sometimes in the car rental business, you do kind of get what you pay for. All right, this is a story that's been around now for almost a week, and I was going to mention it last weekend, but I really was looking for a little bit more confirmation because this is a little bit scary. You know, Tom, we talked a couple weeks ago about the fact that maybe it might be possible, technology-wise, for someone to hack into an airplane's system, technology system, and basically take control of that aircraft.
Yeah, I'm all over the news.
It appears as though that may be exactly what has happened. Online security expert Chris Roberts has told the FBI that he has been able on 15 or 20 occasions to hack into planes. The FBI has met him a couple times at airports. They have taken his electronic gear from him, and the FBI insists that they believe that this man has been able to do this. The airlines are not commenting, so this is a story that we are all going to want to keep an eye on, because the idea that somebody other than the pilot could be in control of an airplane up in the sky is definitely something that I would say would be of concern to most people who are flying. Would concern me. Wouldn't you concern you just a bit?
Oh, absolutely. There was a TV story on that, and you know, the reports and the airlines and so forth really still have pretty much said that this can't happen. But
yeah.
Apparently, we're still, the verdict is out.
I think the verdict is more out than not. The FBI seems to think that it can, and I'm going to take the FBI's word probably over the word of an airline or two, just based on my recent experience. Tom, did you hear about the guy in the Charlotte airport? He got upset because his flight to Jamaica was overbooked and he wasn't going to get a seat.
No.
And so he just started taking off his clothes right at the gate, and until he took them all off, apparently. And he was there for about 40 minutes before police came to get him. And took him away in the buff.
And he didn't. And he didn't get on the flight.
No. And the reason I mention it is as a strategy to try to get on the airplane, I wouldn't recommend it because it didn't work well for this guy. And I'm guessing they did say the gentleman was on some sort of medication that he hadn't been taking. You think?
Oh,
and So I just kind of wish I'd been there to see it, because it's the kind of thing, you know, all of us have just wanted to throw a temper tantrum at the airport on occasion. And if you could just take off your clothes and sit down on the carpet and just cry, why, you know, sometimes. Anyways, that's the travel news for today.
All right. If you do that, please do me a favor for the sake of our radio show. Keep your clothes on, okay? Hey, buddy, look, you're in New York. We got about a minute and a half before we need to take a break and get to our list of yours. What's going on in New York for the Memorial Day weekend?
Well, it's Tom. This city really, I've been bringing people here for about 20 years, and I come here once or twice a year with a group and once or twice a year to kind of check out things for the group. The city is very busy. They say that the euro has caused international travelers to cut back a little bit, perhaps, but I'm going to suggest to you that U.S. travelers are replacing them. It's Fleet Week. There are sailors everywhere. The weather is darn near perfect. Street festivals abound in New York, in Manhattan on holiday weekends. Our group went to Liberty and Ellis Island this morning and got some wonderful pictures of the statue because, as I said, the weather is just absolutely perfect. Heading to dinner at Carmine's this evening. And they saw a Broadway show yesterday, and then down tomorrow to the 9/11 Museum and Memorial. The observation deck atop that building, now the tallest building in New York, opens next Wednesday. So a little late for our people this visit, but if you're coming to New York sometime soon, you can now get a time-dated ticket for the 9/11 Memorial Museum, and also you can go up on top and enjoy the newest view of New York City and surroundings. So it's an exciting weekend in New York, Tom, and 28 folks from Sacramento are having a wonderful time.
Outstanding. Coming up next, things that tourists do that aggravate locals. Mark has the list. That's next on the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Tom and Mark, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on the air. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Mark, one of the things that you're famous for on the Travel Guys radio show is your incredible lists of things to take with you when you go on vacation.
People not to take with you.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Vacation.
And things not to do on the plane to upset
the flight attendants.
I almost said stewardess.
Yeah, you almost.
One of the things you don't
would
do
have to upset every person in that occupation who might happen to be listening to the radio right now. And I've got a list here today. This is Locals Tell All. This is from our friends at Smarter Travel. Mm-hmm. And it says the most annoying things tourists do in their city.
Do you have an example of something that would fit that maybe you do?
That I do?
Yeah.
I never do anything annoying when I'm on the road.
Okay.
I'm certain of it.
So it would be like when I travel to somewhere like and try to, you know, kiss the Liberty Bell.
Exactly.
Something.
Well, okay. All right. Let me give you an example. I don't have an example for Sacramento, but here's the first one on the list. This is Washington, D.C. Metro escalator etiquette is a big one in the nation's capital. Walk on the left, stand on the right. In Washington, D.C., the escalators go into the underground, into the subway.
Right.
They're really long. So if you don't stand on the right side of the escalator and nobody can walk up it to get by you or walk down to get by you, people are racing for a train
right.
or racing to get to the street.
It's similar to when you're at an airport and they have the movable sidewalk.
Exactly.
And you want to stand on the right so those can pass on the left.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Okay. Exactly. So that in Washington, D.C., that's their pet peeve
okay.
about tourists.
I can believe that.
Okay. So you with me here now?
Yes, I
All right.
It.
So let's move to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Just a little ways up the coast here.
Philadelphia.
When ordering cheesesteaks in Philly, you have to know what you're doing so you don't hold up the line.
All right.
If you mess up, you might be sent to the back of the line. You basically say you want a cheesesteak and then specify whether you want cheese and what kind of cheese and or onions, and don't ask a lot of questions. Don't dawdle in line.
Oh, this is
very typical of East Coasters in either New York or Philadelphia. It's get out of the way. If you get to the front of the line and you don't know what you want, get out of the way. You know, I mean, it's because things are moving. It's not that people are trying to be rude to you. It's just like, if you didn't take the time you were standing in line to figure out what you need, then you need to get out of the way and let other people get past you.
Are there signs posted that prompt people to decide what you want before you get to the head of the line?
Occasionally there are. And trust me, if you get to the head of the line in one of those cities and you don't have your order ready, the person behind you will let you know that you need to get out of the way.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In New York, that's what they say. Get out of the way. Yeah. I mean, I could walk out right now on the street and hear that in New York. All right. In San Francisco, jaywalking or ignoring the walk signs in the San Francisco crosswalk. San Francisco drivers are neither very skilled nor very safe. Use the crosswalks and do what the signs say. Now, in New York, you get in New York, you could get away with that. Forget about the signs. You know, you just go any way you want. But in San Francisco, you can't do that because the drivers there, they don't give you the right of way.
No. In fact, in San Francisco, the rule is the people in the cars don't pay any attention to the stop signs
exactly.
or anything else.
Exactly. All right. Now, so we're going cross country to St. Petersburg, Florida. What
okay.
do tourists do in St. Petersburg mm-hmm. that drives local people crazy? The snowbirds drive 10 miles below the limit at rush hour, make left turns from the far right lane, and make it impossible to park at the supermarkets. But they bring revenue to keep our businesses alive and our downtown thriving. And after May 1, we can enjoy our city again. So look at the positives, folks.
There you go.
So people, older folks in St. Petersburg, don't get out of the way. Again, a common theme that we're seeing here so far. All right, Traverse City, Michigan. Now, this is a really small city on the shores of the Great Lakes up in Michigan. Traverse City has many festivals. It's a beautiful area. But tourists use our beaches and parking lots like trash cans. Every evening, the beach cleaners have to clean up the mounds of trash people threw down. They come for the beauty and fun and leave the area a mess.
Ooh.
So you can see where that would, you know, that would aggravate people who lived in Traverse City. I get it. And here's one. This is a New York one. Stay out of the bike lane on the Brooklyn Bridge or any bridge. Tourists either walk in the lane or they stop and take pictures in the bike lane. There are pictures of bikes painted on the lane for those who do not read English. And I have to tell you, Tom, it's amazing because we are – we're just out on the Brooklyn Bridge with Tony yesterday, just over in Brooklyn doing the pizza.
Tony.
Yeah, Tony, the pizza guy.
Pizza guy.
We had a great tour. Tony couldn't be with us because he had a little medical procedure on short notice, and so one of his family members had to fill in. But anyway, we were in Brooklyn, and this is what they say: stay out of the bike lane. So you know, if you're on the Brooklyn Bridge, for God's sake, that lane that has the bicycles printed in it. That's the bike lane. So you'll want to stay out of there because let me just tell you, in Sacramento, if you're in the bike lane, somebody will probably, you know, ring a bell or do a little horn or something like that, but not perhaps in New York.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, if you just tuned in. Here brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. The list today is the things when you visit a city that annoy the locals the most. So as you listen to these, try not to do these things.
What do you suppose bothers people in Sacramento? Can you think of anything that tourists – we don't have that many visible tourists unless you go down to Old Town. I mean, really, around the railroad, I mean, most Sacramentans, I'm guessing, probably don't interact with tourists very much.
You know, not as much. And like you say, it would probably be in Old Town. And I don't know. I don't think there is a lot. Of course, I think in every city, people are annoyed by those that don't clean up behind themselves. They leave trash and so forth.
Yeah, there seem to be kind of a common theme there. It's don't trash our city. Don't leave it worse than you found it, and don't get in the way.
And I agree that don't get in the way. And once you pull up to the line, you better know what you're going to order, or you better get out of the way.
And let me just tell you, here in New York City, if between 4 and 6 in the afternoon, when people are heading home. It's really and truly. I mean, New Yorkers are not, they are really not rude people. They really are very nice folks, as long as you're not in the way. If you're in the way, then expect to get run over and probably fairly unceremoniously get run over. But if you stay out, if you stand out of the way and ask a New Yorker for directions, unless they're running for the last train of the night, they'll probably politely stop and answer your questions. They're used to seeing tourists there in New York City. All right, one more thing here before we that's the end of my list.
Okay.
So this is...
By the way, you can find that list...
By going to TravelGuysRadio.com. That's how you can find that list. You can find anything on the program today or last week, or you can even find next week's program at TravelGuysRadio.com. Of course, you won't be able to find it until next week.
Perfect.
You can probably find your shopping list at TravelGuysRadio.com. You know, we keep all of those segments we're doing at the end of the show, Save the Best for Last. We're keeping all of those in one section.
There. Oh, good.
Just for kind of fun, you know, because it's kind of a fun thing. Speaking of fun, this is a story from China that I thought was kind of a hoot. This is a Chinese tour guide who has They've ordered the travel agency she works for to suspend its operations after the tour guide was videotaped verbally abusing visitors on a bus. The travel agency was fined about $3,200, and they suspect this isn't the first time that this happened. The tour group was traveling between cities in China. It was a Chinese tour group, and the video shows the guide venting her frustrations on the tourists for their failure to spend enough money at a jewelry shop. So she threatens to cancel the trip home and to revoke their flights home. So they won't have any. Not only is she going to end the trip, but she's going to get rid of their airline tickets.
She's basically going to try to hold them hostage over the fact that they didn't spend enough at the shops they stopped. So did she have a demand? We're going to go back and you're going to spend more?
The bus is prepared for tourists who have moral standards and conscience. Mm-hmm. If you do not have these, you are not fit to sit here, the guide says in the video, which is posted online. If each of you cannot spend 3,000 to 4,000 won, we will cancel the trip. That's about $80. Your flight tickets home will not be covered in this trip as well. She names a few items that she says the tourists have to purchase at the next stop. If you need to at least spend for the sake of your conscience, if you cannot do that, there will be retributions coming to you. Now, it's interesting. There's a law in China. Chris Galloway, one of my staff who's been over there, will tell you that this is probably, it may be a law, but whether it's enforced, that it bans agencies from attracting tourists with low prices and then arranging them to buy goods at certain places along the way, in essence, you know, setting them up. So we don't know if that's what's going on here, but interestingly enough, this...
Well, different cultures, different ways.
Different strokes, I guess, for different folks. So coming up after the break, you have Gwen Duncan here, and she has some great news on some local festivals and fun. And then later on in the hour, we have an interview from Ed Perkins. Remember that one we did where he dissected?
Worth hearing again.
Yes, where he dissected how when you're traveling, how much each hour is worth and how to figure that out. And I just thought it was truly one of the most fascinating things that anybody has ever brought along in the world of travel for a while. So it's a holiday weekend, and so we're going to play that for you again. So that's coming up after the break.
We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark and Tom here. See you in a minute. Again, happy Memorial Day weekend. We are the Travel Guys, Mark, Tom, and Gwen this time around.
Wouldn't be a travel guy.
Well, travel gal, absolutely. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You know, nowadays, you get a group of guys and gals together, mm-hmm. and people will just say, hey, guys.
Yes, they do.
Absolutely.
And once in a while, you'll get a gal for whom that doesn't work. But when I say, hey, guys, I really kind of, I do this with my tour group all the time. I call them troops or gang or
team.
Yeah, I try not to call them guys, but you know, once in a while, Gwen Duncan is with us from Cordially Yours Travel. Gwen, do you usually say guys or do you just say?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Did you say when you just meet a room full of people?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's not sexist. It's just strange. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Sometimes you're on the phone.
Yes.
Today you're here with us live on a Memorial Day weekend, and you have some great ideas for things that people could do basically tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some day trips to see some really cool things around our area. And that don't necessarily cost a lot of money and that people might not even think about. So give us your first one is taking people up to see the Redwoods. Tell us about that.
Yes. I've been looking at different escapes for the parks, national park, well, state parks. Mm-hmm. And one of them was the Calaveras Big Trees. The cost is about $10 per vehicle, and that's for as many people as you can fit in there.
Kind of like the old drive-ins, Tom. You know, mm-hmm. you're going up to Calaveras Big Tree State Park.
Right.
Because Gwen's suggesting that you should, you know, fit as many people in the car as you
so
can.
So it's because it's priced by car.
Yeah, you remember those days.
Right.
Don't
they don't do that, by the way,
did
at the drive-ins
Modesto
anymore.
When you were growing up?
Pardon me?
Did you go to the drive-in in Modesto and take as many people
time.
In?
All the time. And we did sneak people in.
As you could?
Yeah, so you'll know now it's not about, they spy the head at the Bradshaw
really?
Drive-in.
Well, do they open the trunk? If they don't, why then how are they going to get an accurate count?
That been there, done that.
Meanwhile, back to Calaveras Bay. That is a great idea. We haven't taken a sports leisure group up there for a couple of 3 years. We used to go. We go up there, take the coach up there, let folks walk around in the big trees and have a picnic lunch up there. Bring it with us on the bus, Kentucky Fried Chicken and the whole nine yards, and have a big old feast up there. But that is a great idea. You know, Tom, a lot of people don't know that just up on Highway 4, up above Arnold, is where Calaveras Big Trees are. And it's gosh, what is it? Probably less than a two-hour drive. And I can't think of a better place to escape the heat in the summertime. It's going to be a little crowded on the weekends.
Yes, Mark, I found out something very interesting about that location. Many people go there for the day. Even many more planning ahead will stay there at the campground. But they also have four cabins that you can rent there that are of 1898 kind of history, I guess.
Is that cool? Do we have a link to that that we can put online?
I'm going to be putting that on my website. They start at $169 a night, and they've got one that will satisfy, will accommodate at least 10 people for $205 on
the highest. Well, those are the prices that are very similar to Yosemite Lodge, so that would be worth looking into.
That's
like you said, what a great overnight getaway. What else do you have?
Okay, and then we had the
Malakoff Diggins.
Now, what's unique about this one is that they do have some programs for that fits a fourth grade curriculum, and they will offer out classes. They're 2 hours.
So if you're not smarter
hunts,
than a fourth,
right,
grader,
right, if you're not
this
smarter
okay
than a fourth grade. It's a 2 hour history lesson and a scavenger hunt that is done April to June and September to November there, and but year round, of course.
Have you ever been up to Malakoff Diggins?
That one I've not. And
it's,
I want
it's
to.
It's kind of out of the way. It's kind of up in the Grass Valley, Nevada City sort of ish area. And it's an area that they mined, and what they've done is exposed. Unfortunately, it's kind of an ecological, I won't call it a disaster, but it's not really a positive. But the way they mined exposed the earth, and because of the different shades of the soil and stuff like that, it's really quite an interesting place to see. But it's nice to see that there's an educational aspect. You know, you mentioned Calaveras Big Trees first, and there is a wonderful visitor center there.
Yes.
And Malakoff Diggins, that sounds fun. A scavenger hunt. Okay, there's two. What? Give us another one.
And then the third one is Sutter Creek, and it's a 19. They call it an 1896 time machine. And it's really free, except for they do have a museum there. And at the museum, the adults are $5. Kids are, well, youth
are
$3.
You know what's a fun outing? And probably on Memorial Day weekend, all the stores are going to be, shops and stuff are going to be open up there, I'm guessing, Tom, is to go up to Sutter Creek in Jackson and just spend a day.
That's exactly
right.
What I was thinking.
Even
yeah.
Mokelumne Hill, you know, is kind of a fun little town.
Well, the antique shops.
Amador City.
The antique shops.
There's all those little in the wall. And Sutter Creek, I mean, you could walk on the streets up there for 3 or 4 hours, especially, you know, by the time you get an ice cream cone. I have a friend who owns now the hotel in Jackson.
Which one?
Hotel, yeah.
The original Jackson Hotel?
Yeah. And so...
My family would do trips like this on a regular basis in Jeeps during the summer.
And now, of course, Gwen, we talked about it the other day. You were up wine tasting. Amador, of course, is a huge, huge area for wineries and so forth.
Oh, absolutely.
So you can go to all the shops. You can go to the wineries and the tasting rooms and... just so much to do.
We've left the daffodils behind. It's too late in the year.
We did, yeah.
In March, you can go up there to Daffodil Hill, which is not very far from Sutter Creek.
Right.
And we are really lucky in this area because there are a lot of things. And, you know, as the traffic gets worse and worse on Highway 80 going to San Francisco, it's almost impossible now to drive nonstop between here and San Francisco.
I wanted to mention that the Sutter Creek, when the best time to go there is in the fall.
Okay.
Actually, because they say that they've got
the dogwoods
and the sweet gum trees are there. Well, you can plant it.
Well, the dogwoods would be pretty in the spring.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. But if you don't have a Jeep, I would encourage you to go anyway.
Well, and plus you can't take your Jeep on the sidewalk. I mean,
no.
Sutter Creek. It's. Do you have any favorite places up there in the hills, Mr. Romano, that you like to visit at all?
Well, here again, I think you
wineries.
You're right on. Exactly. Two good wineries.
Gwen knows your weakness, apparently.
Yeah, Renwood, Fiddletown. You were right on, though. I like Jackson. I like Plymouth. All that area up there is great. You know, a lot of people nowadays, they go to, there's an Indian casino up there, and they really miss out because they go from here to there.
That's
and
right.
They don't bother to stop at all of what really the gold country, if you will, is really all about. I like Jackson, and Plymouth are my favorites.
I think that's really might be some of my favorite areas in California, especially if you can go up there before it gets too terribly hot, because it gets pretty hot up there in the summertime, too.
Well, and Mark, these places that we've mentioned here and the ones that are going to be on the website are about 45 minutes out of Sacramento. We're not talking about long distances.
Right, except for Calaveras.
Well, sure, sure, sure.
But yeah, no, you're right. Malakoff Diggings is not too far. Sutter Creek is
not too far.
So where can folks find more information about these little trips?
Well, I'm going to have a link on my website, and I'm going to be, you'll have that information as well.
We'll have a link on travelguysradio.com, and your website again is?
It's gocytravel.com. I'm also going to have a list of all the fees that the parks charge.
Oh,
on there.
Good. So folks will know before they get into the car what
right.
they. But really, if you took a picnic lunch, I mean, other than the cost of gas, which is, you know, not an arm and a leg.
Variable.
Right. Yeah, very right. variable, exactly. Some great ideas. Gwen, Duncan, with some ideas of the week. Thank you so much, Gwen. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All righty. Thomas, coming up next, we're going back to Ed Perkins and talk to him a little bit about that great way to figure out how much your vacation is worth to you.
It's really all about how much is your own time worth. And when you go on vacation and you spend whatever, thousands of dollars to vacation pretty much anywhere, do you ever stop and think about how much you're spending waiting in line.
Yeah, yeah.
And, or getting to that destination.
Or making the decision to take public transit instead of renting a car, knowing that the public transit will be a lot cheaper, but it will take you longer to get there. And what is that costing you in terms of wasted time? What is your time worth per hour on vacation? And Ed has some an amazing equation of how to figure that out. True confessions, full disclosure here. This is an interview that we ran a couple of months ago. We don't rerun interviews very often on the Travel Guys, but this is one I think that really, you know, Tom, we talk about making people a smarter traveler. And more than anything, I think that we've put on the air this year, this interview will make you a smarter traveler.
And that's for you next here on the Travel Guys. Welcome. You're tuned to the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. And on the line, one of our favorite consumer reporters, Ed Perkins. Ed, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Oh, it's always nice to talk to you guys.
Ed, last week you wrote a column on smartertravel.com, by the way, a website that we strongly recommend, especially for the amateur traveler, for the leisure traveler. Great place to pick up really good information. And it's smartertravel.com, and we talk here a lot about making you a smarter traveler. And you, on that website, you will be a smarter traveler if you're around there very long. Ed writes for Smarter Travel, and last week Ed wrote a column called The Hidden Travel Costs You Should Never Ignore. And Ed, you talked about how travel costs people. I thought it was very interesting. I'll allow you to explain.
Okay. I call it travel overhead. And that is simply the cost per hour of just being in a destination away from home. And I use a couple of examples there, but you have your airfare and you have your hotel costs. You will spend more per day on food than you would at home. And without even talking about any admissions to attractions or museums or anything like that, just being in a city away from home costs you money. I figured out two different trips, one for a couple people going to from Little Rock to New York for 4 days, and another for two people from Chicago for a week in London. And in both cases, it turned out about the same, that just being in New York or London cost you almost $30 an hour per person. And for a couple, obviously, $60 an hour.
Does that include sleeping hours as well?
Well, no, this is the point. No, these are useful sightseeing or activity hours.
$30 an hour. There you go.
And so the point being that a lot of times you are faced with a choice of do you spend more money or do you do something that takes more time? And I'm not advocating or suggesting that people always do everything the expensive way. Don't always take a taxi when you can ride a subway. But if the subway is going to take you an hour and the taxi is going to take you 15 minutes, remember that you're spending $30 an hour just being there wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that fascinating, Tom? Read this article that Ed had written, I never, ever thought of travel that way. I think of it on a daily basis. You know, somebody buys a five-day tour from Sports Leisure Vacations and it costs $2,000. It's $400 a day. I can translate that. But breaking it down into hours, I think, really helps people make decisions when they're out traveling. I mean, think about it, Tom, the example he just gave. If it's cost you $30 an hour to be there and you can save 45 minutes, that's $22 you've saved.
Well, I've put that into my vacation plans on more than one occasion when you're going to theme parks where you have to pay an admission fee and you're going to drive 12 hours for whatever to get there you could have spent a little extra, fly down to wherever it is in an hour and a half or two, get your tickets and spend an extra 12 hours at your destination doing things, as Ed said, at $30 an hour versus that extra long trip. So, you know, I haven't ever done the math, but I'm aware of that, particularly when it comes to places where there is an admission and you do want to spend as much time at that destination enjoying what you're paying for.
Yes, and another corollary to that one is that if you're in a destination that offers an extra cost bypass the lines option, that's often a good idea if the option is spending, during the course of an 8-hour day, spending 4 of those hours waiting in line.
Using Ed's theory, if you're standing in line, you are wasting money. And I don't think it's just a theory. I think what you've pointed out here, Ed, is this is the cost of travel.
Yeah,
And it's a cost of wasting time when you're traveling. And the cost of wasting time when you're traveling is actually quite expensive.
Yes, it is, particularly when you're talking about someplace where you had to buy an airline ticket, or either individually or as a package. And it adds up to more than you would think, is the point of this column. And just to remind travelers that there is that kind of a cost trade-off, cost versus time trade-off, that they sometimes need to make when they're making a decision.
And I think that people do that on a regular basis in their everyday lives. I mean, people think about the time that it takes to do X, Y, Z, and how time these days is really more valuable than money. And I think that's really what you're pointing out here, Ed, is that time is really more valuable than money. And even when you're on vacation, and it shouldn't be, you might not be thinking about time as money, that really and truly time is money, maybe more on vacation than when you're sitting at home in the lounge chair at night watching the old reruns on TV. Ed, before we let you go, I'd love to shift gears for a minute. Last week on the program, we talked with a spokesperson from Spirit Airlines who was kind of trying to defend the business model that Spirit and now Frontier Airlines have developed, this whole thing of, wow, it's a great fare when we start with, but by the time you put clothes on the pig, why, it's in lipstick, it's a little different. I wanted to ask you your thoughts about these unbundled airlines and the way that they're trying to make the public think that their product is a little less expensive.
The first point to be made is that everybody's doing it. It's not just Spirit and Frontier. It's sort of a different degree, but even the big guys, American, United, Delta, they charge extra for a check bag. They charge extra for a lot of stuff. Spirit just and Frontier are just splitting it a little finer. And the reason, as you indicate, is the overpowering importance to them of looking like the lowest fare when you pull up an internet fare comparison on Expedia or Kayak, mm-hmm. or one of those systems that compares everybody. And being at the top of that list of being the cheapest is very important. So that's what they're doing.
Can the traveling public be that? I don't want to use that word. Can the traveling public be that uneducated?
Yes, in a word. Part of it is psychological. They see that at the top. But yeah, and as I say, the big airlines are moving more and more in that direction, and I think you're going to see it continue.
So the guy at Spirit Airlines, Ed, says, my planes are full. People love us because, and the reason that we know they love us is because our planes are full. How do you dispute that?
You don't. They're right. Their planes are full. It's the same reason that Ryanair, which sort of invented that business model, is the largest domestic internal airline in Europe. And I think EasyJet, which also does the same thing, is number two. People like cheap. And to the extent that, at least on some trips, they can take the trip without having to check a bag, without having an advanced seat assignment, without having an early boarding, and all that other stuff, they will fly for less on a Spirit than they would on most other airlines. But the other side of that one is, not only are Spirit's flights full, but Spirit's making money. And so, obviously, it works for them. I think clearly some customers are obviously in that case, some customers are being scammed. Some customers are paying more on Spirit than they would on American or Delta. But look, it's an open market. People can choose what they want. I'm not trying to defend Spirit, and I've never flown them. And if I'm lucky, that'll continue. But
I think that says it all, Tom, right there. There's a consumer advocate who is saying, I've never flown them, and with any luck, Ed, I really do appreciate your comments. I agree with you. It appears as though, for right now at least, those of us who know better need to keep telling people, and those who don't will fall into the trap. And I guess that's just, there's some kind of law about all of that, you know, the way that's supposed to work. Ed Perkins from Smarter.
I think P.T. Barnum wrote that law.
Oh, that one, huh?
Ed Perkins from SmarterTravel.com, where you can find him there. Thank you again for your time, buddy, and for being a friend of the Travel Guys.
It's always nice talking with you.
By the way, if you would like to hear that interview again or get more information about what Ed was talking about, how that your time is valuable when you go on vacation, so use it wisely, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, about ready to wrap up this old show for today here on a Memorial Day weekend. First of all, I know you got a contest winner from the Sports Leisure Vacations Travelers.
We do. Our $100 winner congratulations to our $100 winner last week, and so we have another $100 prize this week. Michelle Ogata is our winner. She was on a trip to Santa Fe with Sports Leisure Vacations a couple weeks ago. Michelle, if you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, we will, and let us know you heard your name on the Travel Guys, we will get a $100 gift card out to you right away. Thomas, the Magic Bus Tour that, you know, we were going to give some seats away, and we were going to talk some more about it and stuff like that. Well, I don't know if this is the Travel Guys or just the draw of the Sacramento Bee, but I put it in the newspaper last week and mentioned it was with the Travel Guys, and the bus is lickety-split sold out. So for those of you who hope to go on the Magic Bus, you can call Sports Leisure Vacations and put your name on the wait list, and if we have enough folks, why, we will schedule a second trip. So you're becoming more and more popular, Mr. Travel Guy, in your career.
Well, I think just the Magic Bus is becoming more popular is where I would go with that. But I'm looking forward to the trip, and folks, we'll see you on the bus. Mark, absolutely. Any final words from New York before we wrap it up?
Can't think of a thing, sir, except I'd like to go to dinner. So that's what I'm going to do, is head over to Carmine's for some good Italian food. You have a nice evening yourself there in Sacramento, and I'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you, Mark. First of all, I want to salute to all of our veterans, and have a wonderful rest of your Memorial Day weekend. We are the Travel Guys every week at 3 o'clock on Sundays. We'll see you next time. Same radio stations. You have a great one. Bye-bye for now.